You're listening to IsraelScene.com. I'm Steve.
And this is Yoram. And I thought today, Steve, I wanted to share with you some ideas we've talked about in the past and put them down on record them about Judaism and the Jewish people.
Okay.
I think we talked in the past about, or I've talked at least about my thoughts, that the Jewish people are essentially a single body, a single being, as they talk about the earth being Gaia, being a single consciousness and being made up of many parts. My feeling is that we, the Jewish people, are also a single body, a single being, a single consciousness that expresses itself and it lives and changes and functions in the world, in time, in history, in place.
Okay, so does that mean that the dysfunctional phenomena that we are very sensitive to is part of the process or drags on the elevation of the consciousness as a unity experience as being Jews?
Very true, because we've had a collective experience over the last several thousand years, and we're now expressing a collective expression in response to that experience. And the experience wasn't healthy, and our response is not healthy. And what we really need, what we call for, what's the need of the hour is a form of healing of ourselves as a community, as a being. And this, the lack of this healing is what we see manifested in Israel as the principal part of this body.
So then, if in fact, as the theory is, that we are all Jews, okay, whether they are born in being Jewish or convert into, because there's a change in consciousness once you come into the fold, that if in fact we do share this common consciousness, regardless where we may be living and how culturally different we may be from one another, but we share this unity, ultimately unity experience as Jews. And we have, as a result, also are tied completely into the universal experience, the other, which we can share in that unity also, because we're part of
that. Because we're also part of that large
right.
being.
But if that other is constantly putting pressure on us as Jews in a variety of different ways through the millennium, including up until the present, our lifetimes, and the horrific Holocaust and the treatment of Jews in spite of what people say in the Arab countries, the mini status, doesn't leave us much room to breathe without feeling somewhat pressure and also the need for putting up maybe extraordinary defenses emotionally, psychically, and physically in order to protect ourselves from the onslaught, be it whatever at whatever level. Would you agree?
That's the basis of the distortion in much of our behavior and much of our response to the reality as we perceive it. And that plays out from the corruption within this particular country. It plays out in the overwhelming focus in the, for instance, the diaspora American Jewish community on education. It plays out again. It brings us back to a very old paradigm of ours in which we, when Samuel, you know, goes, the people come to Samuel and say, make us a king so that we can be like all the other people. And Samuel goes to God and says, they want a king. And God says, it's a bad idea. And Samuel goes back and he says, it's a bad idea. And the people insist that there's really some very powerful, almost archetypical drive that we have to be like all the people, to be like everybody else. And Herzl, you know, it's one of my conflicts with Herzl and with the Zionist idea that he expressed, is that we would be a state like all the other states. We'd be another, you know, another Switzerland, they used to say, or another Ecuador, or just another state, a normal state, and they use that term here all the time, which drives me crazy, that there's this drive to be normal and to be like everybody else.
And
it doesn't work, is what I wanted.
And what I find, too, that's interesting is not so much within this country, but there are elements within the country of Jews who, for some reason, would like this Zionist experiment to end and be like everybody else, maybe even one nation, anti-Zionist we call them, I guess, and certainly a contingent in America, we know Europe, a contingent in America of Jews, because that's what they define themselves as, progressives, who are anti-Zionist. I'm not talking about those who were who tend to be more balanced in, quote unquote, in their approach towards dealing with the Palestinian-Israeli issue, which we know is much greater than the Palestinian-Israeli issue, who, for whatever reasons, see that having a state of the Jews only puts more pressure on them as Jews in a situation where they have it pretty damn good. I mean, we've been blessed in the States as Jews. It's probably the great pinnacle of the ability for Jews to express themselves really freely.
And to be like all the other
people. And to be like all the other people.
Like everybody else. One of the things, Steve, that I found is that people often, you say, well, you can't criticize if you don't live there and if your children aren't in the army and so on and so forth. Yet there's no criticism that comes from people who don't live here that isn't given by people who do live here and whose children are in the army and whose children are in danger if they go out, you know, or there were during the height of the Intifada and the suicide bombings. But our desire, our need, this pathology to be like everybody else, which is to not be like ourselves. It's okay. I mean, being like everybody else is fine. There's nothing wrong with everybody else. But there's something about this, the desire not to be who you are in order to be like other people. And you see this, and this is not something that's unique to the Jews. You see this phenomenon among many minority peoples, many oppressed people, who begin to believe what is said about them as far as their status of oppression and their status of non-worth and of being wrong and being something being wrong with them. And people at a certain point begin to accept that that's really who they are and what they are.
So therefore, if there's an element in us that wants to flee who we are, before we can even discuss that, we really have to discuss who are we?
Yes.
So maybe we can come to some kind of sort out the complexity of who we are as we perceive it, and then maybe then move into, well, what is it that we want to leave or we want to be like that we're not?
Well, I think that's part of what we're supposed to be doing here, and to a degree we are. But at the same time, because of all of the other outside influences, all of the other outside conflicts that we're engaged in, it's very hard to be clear and to be objective about who we are and what our role is and what's going on around us, because we're constantly under attack. Now, I know individually, and I keep feeling that this is like a Zoom business, like the individuals, like the group, like the individual. As an individual, if I'm not feeling well and I feel I need to heal myself, either, you know, an infection
or
a stomach ache or a headache or what have you, the first thing I want to do is be quiet. To lie down is to rest and allow my body to devote its energies to healing whatever it is that's bothering me, rather than being engaged in, you know, driving or being engaged in dealing with my children or in dealing with other outside influences. I think we were talking about what we're really about,
right,
rather than what we would like to be about like everybody else is about.
Right.
And I think that what we're really about, this body that we are, is the Messiah. Is, and I think the Messiah, the translation of Messiah into English, is evolution. And we are about the process of the spiritual evolution of the beings that walk on two legs. And we picked up that process at a certain point. There was this, to my mind at least, mythical character named Abraham who had an insight. And his insight, as different from what everybody else was doing, was that there was only one essential core reality, and that it's that reality which was present in the trees and in the bushes and in the rocks and in himself and in his wife and in the stars and the sky and the water and so on and so forth. And that was his insight. And it was such a powerful insight that we're schlepping it along now after 4,000 years.
So he had a revelation. He realized the revelation. He connected with the revelation. And he said, I love you, parents, I love you, family, but I have to go out and I have to establish myself in this new awareness.
Separately,
because I can't know, I can no longer know what I know and still live here.
And his purpose was not to fight them. I
right.
mean, one of the stories we have is how he broke the idols.
Right.
But I assume
right.
at some point he also realized that he could spend his whole life breaking idols
and it wasn't going to change anything.
It wasn't going to go anywhere.
Right. So he needed to leave.
For his development.
He needed to move out.
He needed to become separate.
Yes, and actually he...
Different.
Different. Different. Not better or worse, but different.
Different. Well, the base problem is that this revelation is counterintuitive to our, as human beings, to our intent and to our fundamental being. The process of physical evolution from the animal to the human began a longer time ago, and it was a very slow process. And we developed physically, and we developed physically not only in our limbs, but we developed physically in our minds. Our brains developed physically, and those physical developments led to intellectual developments and to emotional developments and what we might call spiritual developments, until we got to the point where most animals that we know aren't, which is that we see this amazing thing called reality, and we wonder what it's about. And in some form, we begin to project on it that it's that because there are many things we can't control.
So some of the arguments are, for example, that why do you keep yourselves so separate, quote unquote? Because ultimately, if you sit long enough, if you come to that spiritual understanding that it's universality, that all the different religions and all the different ways of seeing it, the myriad possibilities, fall away to the ultimate truth. Even if we know that to be the case, and I'm sure we all come to that moment when everything falls away and we just are, we're just here. At nevertheless, that I'm finding that until I understand and accept the uniqueness of who I am, and that also means being Jewish, that only then do I feel so comfortable in my own skin without conflict can I transcend even that. And what I find interesting is that there's such a desire to throw off, deny, say that's not relevant, that I can go beyond that. And I'm saying, well, that may be true, but you can't go beyond it until you're it. You can't break the rules.
You have an it to go beyond with.
Yes, thank you. In one sense, frustrating with, you know, living even in Israel, where there's, because of the reaction to ultra-Orthodoxy, there's been throwing out the it, one of the most important components of the it, of who we are, throwing it out because we're saying the clothes that it comes in are just not acceptable to most of us.
That's part of the distortion.
I'm saying throw their clothes away, take on some new clothes, but don't throw away it.
That's part of the distortion, and it distorts them, the ultra-Orthodox, who feel that they have to man the walls because, you know, you can't, the domino theory and the slippery slopes are like all around us. So they build this fence, which is to keep people from transgressing, but the fence also keeps people from coming in and touching the reality and the really important elements and issues and being able to live with them and being able to use them in our lives. And this puts us in a very difficult position, so that we're dealing with so many different distortions coming at us from so many different ways that we have a very hard time being ourselves in any objective way, and even exploring the process becomes very difficult, particularly more so here in Israel, where all the Jews are, than say in America or in another or in the diaspora, because here it's official, here it's a governmental policy, which is, you know, a distortion of politics and democracy and various other forms. So it's distortion on distortion. But I think our purpose in the play, the great play of the universe, certainly of the human component, is as a kind of sayeret, as a kind of commando unit that goes ahead of the rest of the unit in the development of the spiritual processes of what it takes, what it means to uplift, for human beings to be able to we've evolved from the animal state to the human state, and physically, it's very obvious, and also intellectually and emotionally. And now I think the next step that we are called, that is in line, should we last that long, is to evolve into a divine state, into a state of complete creativity and complete consciousness and awareness of reality, and the what comes from that is the awesomeness of this mystery that we call life. And that's very counterintuitive to contemporary consumerism. Whichever contemporary it is, there was a contemporary consumerism in the times of the Romans, which was eat, drink, and be merry.
Well, there's a contemporary consumerism even then and now. There's a contemporary politicism of one's life then and now. And these contemporary external efforts at trying to understand, and that doesn't mean absolving yourself from any responsibility in the world, because Jews don't do that. We take very seriously our responsibility being here and therefore in the world and participating fully in all of its endeavors. but at the same time realizing that needs to be defined and effort has to be made to realize before one can have clean hands and go out into the world and say, I do have the truth and I do know, and everyone else who doesn't believe the way I do is duped by this person or that person, which creates more chaos.
Well, that's the challenge that we struggle with, and that's one of the purposes behind this Jewish Idea series, is to present ideas that can stimulate, that potentially will stimulate people into thinking about these issues and developing them and sharing them. And, you know, we say after the Shema, we say, "V'dibarta bam b'shiftecha u'betecha u'v'lechtecha v'aderech." These are the subjects we're supposed to be talking about, supposed to, in our houses and as we go on our business in the street, and be able to make corrections and be able to help. And I also want to say that part of the issue we're dealing with our neighbors is their distortion from their historical experience, for which they need peace and quiet in order for them to work on it. But one of the requirements for working on it is accepting your own responsibility in the process and attempting to the degree that you can to achieve a situation in which you are under less stress, to achieve a situation which only comes when you take responsibility and begin trying to fix your world.
Because no one's going to do it for us, whether it's fair or unfair. And it's the same thing here, including ourselves.
And it's the same thing for us individually,
yes.
One
yes.
by one, each of us individually.
Very difficult.
And it's not easy, and that's a challenge. And that's why I'm hoping that this series stimulates people thinking.
This has been wonderful, and I hope we can do more of these. And this for IsraelScene.com, this is Steve.
And this is Yoram.
And we ask that if you have any comments about anything, please, if you want to share your own views about the topics we just discussed, you can always email us at info@IsraelScene.com. That's SEEN.